If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to actually cover one verse today. And if you didn't bring a Bible, you'd like to follow along. John has some Bibles there, and he'd be glad to hand you one. And you can, and Scott has some. And if you need that Bible, we're glad for you to keep that Bible. And it's our gift to you. Bring it back with the study every week here. We kind of do this thing each Sunday morning, and we're glad that you're here. I just want to say, if you haven't signed up for a small group yet, now's the time. We would be glad to field. Greg oversees those for us here, who just led worship, and he would be glad to get your email today. You can email him directly, or you can email, which is greg@tworiverschurch.com, or smallgroups@tworiverschurch.com, or info@tworiverschurch.com. Just try one of those, and we'll get back to you. You can sign up on our website if you're at home watching. But small groups are starting this week. So if you're in our small group or would like to be in our small group, let me know. We'll give you directions, and we're going to have a good time. It's one of the sort of pillars of who we are as a church. It's where we learn how to love each other, where we get to do life in community together, and it's one of our favorite times of year when we kick those back off in the fall. And we'll do two semesters and then probably do something similar to this summer, again next summer, where we take a little break. By design, I spent a few weeks traveling and it started out as sort of just a study break to rest my brain. My brain gets tired. Like, coming up here and telling y'all a bunch of stuff every week gets tiring. Not you, it's just this. It's the figuring out what to say and getting more Otis stories, you know, in the memory bank, that kind of thing takes some time. And so it started out as kind of a study break. I was going to preach only a couple times in August, and then it turned into opportunities to go and preach at different places, and that was really fun for me, but I'm really glad. As much fun as I had going and seeing people that I knew and going to a couple different places and meeting some new people, it's always good to be back here at Two Rivers with you. So thank you for those who filled in for me. Micah, Chip, Greg, they did a great job. And we are studying through, we're going to finish up our study through the Book of Wisdom, the Book of Proverbs this morning. We're in chapter 29. Today is the 29th day of August, and hopefully you have been following along and reading through the Book of Proverbs. And if you have, then you're much wiser today than you were 29 days ago, right? We've learned from God's word, and we've learned from each other. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes from time to time. A few years ago, at the end of our service, during the sort of communion, commitment, and prayer time, I was sort of sitting over here on the front row. I believe we still had pews at the time, so I was sitting over here, and a guy came up, and right as the band began to play kind of the closing song, and he leaned over to me, because the band was playing, it was a little louder than it would have been during our communion time, and he told me his name was Mike Hoff, and what was going on in his life, and we spoke for a few minutes, sitting there on the front row, and told me he was ready to commit his life to Christ. He wanted to be baptized into Christ, and as you can imagine, I was excited, glad to be a part of what God was doing in his life, and at the end of the brief conversation, I prayed for Mike. And at the end of the prayer, as the band was still playing, he kind of leaned over to me and said, my name is Dustin. I just want to be sure your mic was off before I told you all this stuff. So I prayed for Mike Hoff. It's a true story. Now, it feels a little bit like you're laughing at me. But sometimes we misunderstand things, don't we? Like, I'm getting older, and it's kind of funny to me, but it's also, I think my hearing's probably not as good as it once was, and I like to kind of, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not intentionally. That was not intentional at all, 100% true story. Prayed for Mike Hoff. But sometimes with Bonnie, you know, I'll conveniently misunderstand things. Guys, we do that sometimes, but sometimes we misunderstand things, and that makes it hard to understand truth, right? I was confused as to who I was sitting next to, who I was praying for. Let me give you an example. Sometimes we do this with the Bible. Let me give you an example from the Bible. Philippians 4:13. Anybody know what that is? I can do all things through him who gives me strength, right? Through Christ who gives me strength. Now, I have seen this verse used in so many ways, right? From football players to bumper stickers to T-shirts to usually some sort of motivational mantra to help someone achieve their goals, whether the goal is a touchdown or extra bases or to make a sale. It's usually used out of context. And the actual context of the verse is contentment, even in the midst of suffering. Let me read the whole passage. Verse 11 says, I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then Paul says to the church at Philippi, I can do all things, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So Paul wrote this letter while in prison, and he had been through a lot of trials in his life, and he writes this to other Christians to encourage them to keep the faith. It's not just T-shirt material, right? It's not just a sales goal, right? This is real stuff that Paul endured, and here's the secret, Paul says, to being content in all circumstances. Trust God. It has nothing to do with our sales goals. Has nothing to do with touchdowns. Just to be clear, suffering is not having to take a test the first week of school, right? It might be difficult, but that's not suffering. Paul was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was abandoned. He was in prison. He was starved and still managed to say, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So poor interpretation leads to a poor theology and ultimately poor understanding of what God wants for our lives. Now, I don't mean to pick on those who've used that verse, and I'm sure that I have unintentionally used the Bible out of context from time to time, but our text this morning is one of those passages that has been traditionally misunderstood and misused. Proverbs 29, verse 18. I'm going to read it first from the King James Version, and this is the one that usually gets used a little bit out of context. The proverb writer says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So the way Proverbs 29:18 is typically interpreted and used is a classic example of how not to interpret the Bible. In other words, it's been misunderstood and has allowed us to overlook what I want us to think about today, which is how to achieve a happy and blessed life. So the wording in many of our English Bibles, especially those who the more modern translations have sort of remedied this, but some of the older King James and some of those that have been around for a while, the wording of many of our English Bibles serves as a convenient springboard for some speakers or motivational speakers to use to express what they want to say, regardless of what Solomon actually meant. So the way it's typically translated is where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, the word vision in the Hebrew means revelation. See, I think the NIV, which is in this case, this is what we use routinely, the NIV gets it right. Proverbs 29, verse 18 in the NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. See, it was a revelation that often came in the form of a vision or a dream. That's where the mix-up came in. That word in the Hebrew sometimes talked about vision, not like seeing into the future vision, but more like God's, well, it is, but it's through a vision that someone would have or a dream that someone had. It was a communication or revelation from God to a prophet, which was intended to be delivered to the people. People like Elijah and Isaiah, right? The Hebrew term appears many times in the Old Testament and always refers to a vision or revelation given by God to a specific person who was chosen by him to reveal his will to the people. So it was God's message or God's word to be delivered to the people. God was always the source of this revelation. So Solomon is depicting a time where there is no vision, there is no word coming from God to the people of Israel. So there were often silent periods, sometimes years and years, sometimes decades and hundreds of years where God was silent. No vision spoke of a time where there was no revelation coming from God and to the prophets and then to the people. And during those times, the people had no word from the Lord. The word perish in the original language is the Hebrew word para, or to loosen, to unbind, to let go, to expose. It's the idea of letting down one's hair. It also has another meaning. So we understand what that means. When we say someone let their hair down, it means they kind of let loose a little bit, right? Like they got a little bit they got a little bit relaxed. And so that kind of leads to this other meaning of this word, or lends itself to this, to be out of control, to have no restraint. So, you know, being relaxed, going too far is no restraint, to run wild or disorder. New Century Version says, where there is no word from God, people are uncontrolled. But those who obey what they have been taught are happy. Now, to me, that's probably the most clear way of thinking about this verse, and it's really, really true. Think about this. Where there is no word from God, people are uncontrolled, right? They let their hair down. They get they go without restraint. But those who obey what they've been taught are happy. There is happiness, right? There is a blessed life for us if we stay within the boundaries, within the parameters that God has given us. When God's revelation ceased in Israel, it had a very negative effect on the people of Israel. It led to people to believe that they could live unrestrained lives. Now, in our world, in our culture, there's a lot of unrestraint, right? Do what makes you feel good, if it makes you happy, right? Follow the philosophies of this world and the way that people live in this world. Basically, do what you want. As long as you don't hurt anybody else, right? You can do whatever you want. You can live an unrestrained life. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive a word from God. Literally, the Old Testament law, including the Ten Commandments. And he didn't come back for a while. During that time, it wasn't a long, long time. It was, you know, days, not months and years. During that time, without a lot of time passing, the people of Israel felt that he wasn't coming back. You know what they did? They went wild, right? They just literally lived with no restraint. They built idols. They danced naked. They were unrestrained. There was disorder. There was sin in the camp. See, we need God's word in our lives. It gives us the parameters, the boundaries by which God says life is best. Life is happy. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says, the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine throughout the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Like, do you get that? There's a sense that not receiving from God on a regular basis is like going hungry. It's like not being able to eat. It's like when we go on a fast, your body starts to crave food, right? Or when you go without eating a meal, which is a lot like a fast for me, all of a sudden your body is, it wants food. And Amos warns that a famine, right, a long time without God's word, that's going to starve you. And the result in, it will result in chaos among God's people, and we will starve spiritually. The prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge because you've rejected knowledge. I also reject you as my priest because you have ignored the law of your God. I also will ignore your children. Hosea says, God's word through the prophet Isaiah says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge of who I am. How awful. To see churches in our culture, to see people in our culture who claim to be Christians but have lost, right, their connection with God and his word. When God's word is no longer taught, there's a disorder and a lack of restraint among people even today. The proverb says, he that keeps the law is happy. How can we be happy? Like, it sort of goes against what our world tells us, that having some boundaries, having some restraint actually makes us happier. But our children are that way, aren't they? Like when we let our children just do whatever they want, guess what? They end up going down roads that lead them to bad things. Same thing is true with us. If we only go down certain roads that are have some boundaries, have some guardrails, then it's actually a happier journey. The one who keeps or guards or pays attention to and obeys God's word will not have a disorderly Christian life, but he will be restrained, not unrestrained. See, God's word has a that effect on our lives, a restraining. It keeps us in check. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to drive or be in a car in another country. Anybody here driven in another country? Maybe driven, not Canada, you know, like a third world country or somewhere. Like I've been on a couple of trips out of the country, like to Mexico, and people just drive differently. It's not necessarily wrong. It's kind of what you get used to. I've been in the Middle East and Central Asia, and let me tell you, driving in other countries is very different. There are very few rules, right? It seems to be the prevailing rule is whoever gets there first has the right of way. Or sometimes the law of greater mass. Like if there's a big truck coming, he goes wherever he wants to go, right? And so there were very few, if any, traffic lights or stop signs. Where we went in Central Asia, which is the place where we're having a lot of trouble in the world right now, we need to pray for. There were lots of roundabouts. You know, like you could, and can you imagine, nobody has any rules, and everybody did go the same way. I will say that. They did know to go kind of this way around the roundabout, but it was just chaos. I mean, you just kind of went wherever you went, and you got out of people's way. It was out of control, and it was stressful. When you drive here in the United States, for the most part, now I know you can tell me of bad situations, but there is a bit of a sense of certainty. There are lines on the roads. There are traffic signals. There are rules and laws that we try to obey. Not everyone follows those rules all the time, but there's a sense of order, not chaos. You see the difference that I'm painting here? Like, we can get around and we can have actually a pleasant drive or a Sunday afternoon drive, as Mayberry or Andy Taylor would say in Mayberry. We can have that here because it's not as stressful because we have certain rules, and people generally follow those rules. My parents, especially my dad, that's one of the things they like to do. They like to go drive somewhere. Like, Dad, where are you going? Oh, we're just going to take a drive. You know, it's funny to me. Like, we rarely do that. He would go see something different. They like to drive to a little town that maybe they hadn't been before or hadn't been in a long time and just go have lunch and come back home. And he always told me, he said, if you're in a town, in a new place, especially a small town, look for the restaurant where all the cars are and go there and eat. And he said, another thing, order what everybody else is having. Right? That's really good advice. You can tell that I have heeded that advice. They could have a pleasant drive because most roads here in the U.S. are safe and most people are following the traffic laws. That's what Proverbs 29 is saying to us. And instead of being unrestrained and out of control and suffering the consequences of such behavior, the one who lives according to God's word will be blessed, will be happy. The one who obeys God's word is blessed of God, and thus that brings us joy, that brings us happiness. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Three quick things. First of all, we have to look to God's word for revelation. Everything else that we might hear or get from somewhere else or someone else, we're not sure about. We have to test, right? But God's word is a known quantity, is a known entity. We never have to worry about God going silent anymore because we have his word to guide us. He gives us wisdom. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and at many times in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. See, there was a time when God communicated with man almost exclusively through prophets, but now God has sent Jesus. The Hebrew writer says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. In other words, if you have seen Jesus or if you have seen him in God's word, then you have seen God himself. So we have the opportunity to see Jesus in the pages of the Gospels. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The message is heard through the word of God. Our faith grows as we learn more and more about Jesus and his desire for our lives. Paul told Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, we have every opportunity to know God and to be thoroughly equipped as we study and understand God's word, because all scripture is God-breathed from the very mouth of God. See, we need that life being breathed into our lives, like the person who needs CPR, right, to resuscitate them. We need God to breathe life into us by his word. So this past month has been a kind of a trial or a training for us to get into God's word, to read just a chapter a day, just a few verses a day. What does that do? It breathes life into us. Like the picture I want you to see is that when you open your Bible and you're sitting there with your Bible in front of you, it could even be the Bible app or your phone, it's God breathing out and us inhaling his word. And in his word is life, spiritual life. And that leads us to the second thing I think we should remember, that without God's word, we perish. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. See, without God's word in our lives, we're like the people in Moses' day who fell right into what I call unbridled immorality. Moses goes away for a few days, the whole camp falls into sin. They threw off restraint. They allowed themselves to veer away from God and his word. They forgot about any boundaries. They forgot about any restraint. And they did whatever they saw everyone doing around them. And it was sinful. See, some people think that Christianity, it's a burden. Like a lot of rules and regulations, a lot of restrictions. But I think there's life when we remain connected to Jesus. Like there, we have to not think about it as it binding us up, as actually giving us life and allowing us to grow and flourish. Jesus said in John chapter 15, this great discourse about the vine. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned." So it's not so much a restraint, you know, like restrictive. It's life-giving to stay connected to God and his word. There is life when we stay connected to Jesus and his word. Psalm 119 says, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." See, then we can experience happiness, because that comes to those who rely on God's wisdom. There are a lot of experts in our world today, right? Everywhere you look, somebody's an expert on something. If you look at TikTok or Twitter or Facebook, everybody's got, do this, right? This is how you do it. Let me tell you this, I'm an expert on this, but happiness comes to those who rely on God's wisdom. Blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. So we should make God's wisdom our way of life. And not just any wisdom or conventional wisdom, but God's wisdom. For true wisdom comes from God. The result of living by God's word is happiness. It frees us up to be happy, right? We can remove the chaos from our lives if we commit to living by God's word, by God's wisdom. And it's also our responsibility to share this way of life with others. I mean, shouldn't we want others to know and have the happiness we found in Christ? Now, I've been on the road several weeks this past month, and I've noticed something. I don't know if you've noticed this, but LED headlights, you know what I'm talking about, are terrible. They're great if they're on your car, but they're terrible if they're on somebody else's car. They light up the road in front of you. Like, if you have them, they light up the road at night in front of you, like daytime. But if someone with LED lights is behind you, or worse yet, coming at you, you can't see anything. At least I can't. My move, I hate when somebody gets behind me and wants me to go faster and has those LED lights. I don't even think they're bright lights. I just think they have those LED lights. And they're super bright, and I can't see. It's, you know, it's reflecting in my mirror and my side mirrors. My move is to just let off the accelerator. And I'm just going to coast. I'll go as slow. I'll come to a complete stop until you pass me. Like, that's my move. sometimes I get frustrated and I go 95 miles an hour. And that's when Bonnie says, stop, you know, like, don't do that. You know, so my new move is, that used to be my new move is I just completely let off the gas. So if you get behind me with those LED lights, I'm just going to come to a complete stop until you go around me, right? I can't see anything when that car's behind me. Sometimes I think, though, that's what we do with the message of Christ. The Bible clearly says that Jesus is the light of the world, and that this world is in darkness, and that his light dispels that darkness. But that doesn't mean we need to shine it right in the eyes of those who need it. You follow what I'm saying? It's not our job to expose someone else or to blind them. The only way LED lights on the highway can be good for us is if somebody comes up next to you, right? Then you can both see. You're not being blinded, and their lights are illuminating the road for both of you. And that's what we have to think about when we're shining God's light in this world. Not to blind people, not to expose people for what they're doing wrong, like only by the grace of God. Have we found God's wisdom? Have we found salvation through Christ? Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. See, I think once we've found God's wisdom and once we've settled into that happiness and peace that comes from knowing where God wants us to go, then we help others by shining the light in front of them. And we walk that path with them. And we share God's wisdom to light their path as well as our own until they want that light for their own lives. See, our message in this world is too important to be misunderstood. The message that we have about God and his son is too important to be misunderstood in this life because there's too many people who need the path lit in front of them as well. Let's pray and ask God to allow us to be the right kind of light in this world. Let's pray together. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this month that we've had to share in the book of Proverbs. And God, I just pray that we would leave today understanding that wisdom comes to those, right? Where we look to your word, to your revelation. Because without that, we rely on our own wisdom and the wisdom of this world, which lacks restraint. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to not only understand, but find the peace that comes from living in you, but also share that light with others, not in a blinding way, but in a way that lights others' paths so they can see the way to you. And Father God, I just ask that you would bless us in that regard today, that we would become more and more accustomed to living by your word in our lives each and every day as we live in this world. But give us opportunities to light the path for someone else. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.